Blog Talk Radio.
What up, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Happy Wednesday, happy hump day to you. Hopefully everyone is having a really good day out there. It is hot as hell out here in Phoenix. Why are they talking about setting heat records in April? Makes absolutely no sense. Every year I just ask myself, why? Oh, shorts in January. Anyway, we have a fun show lined up today. Cole Rubino from Devil's Digest is going to join us. There is no one that knows more about the Sun Devils than Hody. We're going to talk about the players that were drafted, the players that were signed, and just some outlook on this upcoming college season, if there is an upcoming college season. We'll do all that about 10 minutes after the hour. And it's funny because I'm looking at the landscape of pro sports, and I'm really starting to get a leery feeling about, will we really have sports before September? A lot of things are happening. Steve Curry is talking about they're treating it like it's the offseason already. And a lot of people are dismissing that, saying, well, he wasn't going to make the playoffs anyway. But we will see. And we'll do all that right here on the Cave Show with PLR. And we are brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School and Chandler Heights. 4991 South Alma School. Just because you can't go in and sit down, that does not mean that you can't go and purchase you a good stick, one of the best selections in the valley. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Now, you can get your sticks three different ways, technically. You can call ahead, and let me give you the number, because you can call ahead and order, and they'll have your sticks ready for you. So all you got to do is pull up, and they'll bring them out. That's 480-620-7599. You can go that route. You can get there, have no idea what you want. They will let you know some of the things that they have. You can tell them, you know, what you like to smoke, what's your style, are you full body, are you mild, and they'll give you a good selection, bring that out to you. Or you can go to Stogie World, StogieWorld.com. And you can have your cigars shipped to you. And if you live in the state, they more than likely will go out that same day. Now, there is a pandemic, so make sure that you're, you know, given time for such in terms of mailing. But that is Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Get down there and let them know that PLR sent you 10% off of your cigar purchase. Welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. And wow, I am so anxious to get into so much going on today. And I'm looking at the NBA season the way it is right now, and I'm really wondering, will we have a season? Steve Kerr stated that pretty much they're treating it like it's the offseason already. And can you blame them? It's not like they have to get ready for the playoffs, or there's extra stuff they have to do, or they have to ensure that, you know, they play these games. Because in all honesty, I don't think the teams that were not going to make the playoffs, personally, I don't think they should play anyway. Personally, I think the season should be over. I think it's too hard. I think March 11th was the last day a game was played. Think about it. When they have offseason, it takes a month for these guys to get ready to play. And they haven't played. They haven't even trained in a real facility. People forget, in the summer, there's real facilities that they can go to. They can show up. They can stay with their team. They can use the gym. They can use the facilities. They can't do any of that. And there's this misnomer that every NBA basketball player makes enough money to have a full court in their house. Not every NBA basketball player even owns a house. So it's a whole different concept. You know, and then I look at the teams that could possibly be in the playoffs in each conference with about 17 games left, and the East is pretty much shored up. Pretty much shored up. Washington has an outside shot, but it's pretty much shored up. In the West, though, the Memphis Grizzlies right now are the eighth seed. If the season had ended today, you have one, two, three, four teams. Four teams, but then four games of them in the loss column. Now, you can't tell me that Memphis is so good that they're going to hold all of them off. You can't tell me Portland is so bad that they can't make it up. You can't tell me the Pelicans are so bad they can't make it up. You couldn't tell me a Sacramento Kings team that was getting healthy can't make that up. So you run a four-team play-in pod? And then how do you get all these guys around the country, moving around the country from Memphis to Portland to New Orleans to Sacramento? Think about that. We're not saying from L.A. to play the Clippers or the Jazz, from L.A. to Oakland, from L.A. to Phoenix. Memphis to Portland and New Orleans to Sacramento. And New Orleans is a hotbed for this nonsense that's going on with COVID-19. So I'm really trying to figure out how you do that. Or if you just say, you know what, fine. We'll just use the teams that qualified, and we'll allow them to just be the teams, and we'll put them in. Well, if I'm Sacramento and I'm New Orleans, I'm crying foul. We're playing better. We're getting our guys back. And right now, the one thing, almost everyone should be healthy. Who should be banged up? Hell, if you had a four-week injury, you should be fine in terms of the injury. But if you had a four-week injury, you haven't rehabbed with the team. You haven't rehabbed with the facility. You got to do that. Otherwise, you end up hurt again. How does this play out for older guys? Older guys take longer to get their body going. And then, heaven forbid, the biggest question of it all, what happens if you get this thing going and a player comes down with COVID-19 or they test positive? They shut the whole league down for one player. Are you going to shut the whole playoffs down? And I know what you could say in your mind, well, what makes this different than starting the season over? What makes a big difference? Because, one, you have an entire season without so much riding on it for a player to get healthy. You have the opportunity to test other players. And you have an opportunity to not really know, or you have an opportunity to know more about, hopefully know more about what would happen to you with that virus. Is there going to be a vaccine there? Will there be other things that they can look at? And I just think we all want sports back. Hell, I want sports back. I love sports. I cover sports. But at what cost? At what cost do we say we're so bored, we want things back, that we risk this? Especially for a sport that demands so much contact. I think that's the problem. And I think that's the one that we all have to be willing to answer. Is it worth it? Boredom worth risking it? I don't know. We'll find out. Because the NBA is working hard. The LA Lakers have asked if they could get into their practice facility by the 15th, if not sooner. Atlanta, they were all set to go, the Hawks, by the 8th, until they pulled back. These states aren't ready for regular people to go back to work all full out. And no offense to athletes, but I don't want an athlete taking a test just to see if he can perform over a person that's looking to just get better. But these are things we can tackle, and we're going to tackle, and we're going to keep talking about over and over. And I'm looking forward to it because every day something new comes out about this virus and how it's going to impact the landscape of pro basketball, hell, pro football, college basketball, anything sport. I do know this. There was some better days for those Sun Devils. Every day I'm happier and happier to be a Sun Devil alum. I'll tell you what, we're going to talk about those Sun Devils that got drafted, what their outlook is, those Sun Devils that signed as free agents, what their outlook is, and what do the Sun Devils football program in a whole, as a whole look like going into the season, if there is a season. And we're going to do that with someone that knows all about ASU sports. Holder Bino from Devil's Digest will be joining us in exactly 30 seconds.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
On the Kerry Lackey Law Line right now, the one, the only, Holder Bino from Devil's Digest. Hold, welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. Thanks for joining me today, my friend.
Thank you so much, Paul.
It's been too long, man. We've been talking about this forever. And finally, I have the great one on the air. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate you having me on. Lots to talk about, even during a pandemic, that's for sure.
You know, it's nuts. But I'll tell you what, it was very nice to see Brandon Ayuk go in the first round. Eno Benjamin stay here in the Valley. And, you know, Kyle Williams and the other kids that were able to sign on with other teams. But I want to ask about Brandon Ayuk first. And I kid it with Kalen Balazs and Eno. And I said, wow, pretty soon we're going to have to be called running back you. Well, hell, I may have jumped the gun. We may be wide receiver you with Nikhil and Brandon Ayuk going first round. What was so special about Brandon that team saw through the freshman quarterback, the freshman line, and said, hey, this is the guy we got to get early in this draft to get in the first round?
Well, I think when it comes to Brandon Ayuk, it was just a matter of your typical junior college transfer that only has 2 years of Division I football to play and has that much smaller of an opportunity to really make his name known. And Brandon Ayuk was obviously in a very peculiar position where his first year in Tempe, it's not only a matter of transitioning from the junior college level to the Pac-12 level, but also being overshadowed by such a great receiver such as N'Keal Harry, who, like you said, like Brandon Ayuk, was drafted in the first round of the NFL draft a year prior. So there were so many questions going into the 2019 season as to whether Brandon Ayuk or really anybody in the wide receiver corps can pick up the slack, fill in the great void that N'Keal Harry left behind. I was pretty optimistic. I didn't know that Brandon Ayuk would be able to eclipse some of those numbers or maybe duplicate them. But when you look at his senior year in Tempe, it's been nothing short of impressive. First team all Pac-12, not only as a wide receiver, but also as a special teams, because he was one of the best kick and punt returners in the conference. His 1,192 receiving yards ranks fifth in school history. And again, when you're talking about a player that had 2 years at ASU and really played more meaningful minutes, meaningful snaps in his last year in Tempe, you just can't but be impressed by what he was able to do. And obviously, the NFL scouts, the NFL front offices were very impressed with what they saw from Brandon Ayuk. And here he is getting drafted in the first round, just like N'Keal Harry, but somebody that a lot of NFL scouts, as you probably know, Paul, thought he was a higher-rated NFL prospect than N'Keal Harry. Time will tell if that is true or not, but obviously you would say for starters, him being drafted just slightly higher than N'Keal Harry probably justifies those sentiments.
How much did it help him being such a by being such a dynamic punt returner and kick returner, because it's almost like you're drafting two guys with one pick.
Yeah, as you know, Paul, when it comes to the NFL, they're looking for versatility. And it's not only from players that are drafted fourth, fifth round, where they're just trying to make the team, and if they can't contribute to special teams, unless they're offensive or defensive linemen, your chances of ultimately making the opening day roster are slim to none. So when it comes to skilled players like wide receiver, you definitely have to show that you can contribute in other ways to the team. So it absolutely was huge that for Brandon Ayuk to show that he was an elite punt returner and an elite kick returner. And that definitely played a huge, huge part. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he assumes one of those duties when he does arrive to the 49ers. But look, when you have the explosiveness and the athleticism that Brandon Ayuk has in the passing game, it only stands to reason that you should be able to showcase those skills in the return game. And Brandon Ayuk, averaging 31.9 yards per kick return and 16.1 yards per punt return, also had a 63-yard punt return for a touchdown. For him to be able to show that, that elevates your stock that much more, and hence being drafted as high as he was in the NFL draft last week.
On the Kerry Lackey Law Line right here on the Cave Show with PLR. Been trying to get this gentleman for a while, and I don't know what took so long. I have to take the fault for that. The one only Hold Rubino from Devil's Digest. So we know what, and we've seen him play, and we've seen him run. And we know how hard he runs and how talented he is. How much did it hurt Eno, even though we know he's playing with a lot of freshmen on the offensive line and a freshman quarterback? His stats naturally took a hit, but he was more of a teammate, I think, by sacrificing so much. But how much did it hurt him last year with the stats dropping off, which made him, I think, drop to a seventh-round pick, where I'd seen many reports that had him around, you know, fourth round, third round, and then it dropped all the way to seventh round. Did that hurt him a lot last year?
Yeah, I think when you look at it after the fact, there's no doubt that, like you said, having a freshman quarterback, having for literally the entire season two freshman starters on the offensive line, those are all factors that would be hard for any running back, even somebody special like, you know, Benjamin, to really overcome. You're also talking about just the general trend, if you will, of NFL teams to just devalue running backs, not only drafting them more often than not in lower rounds, but also having them on a team for just 3-4 years and then wanting just to move on to the next best thing at that position. So I think it just really was a negative perfect storm, if you will, for Eno Benjamin coming into the draft. But look, I'll be honest, I never thought he would drop to the seventh round. I thought that maybe fifth round would be the lowest we could expect Eno Benjamin. I think that the fumbling issues, which maybe you can attribute less to having a freshman quarterback or having two freshman stars on the defensive lineman, that is one trait that I think, you know, Benjamin, and I know that he talked about this, can look in the mirror and say, that's on me. So I think those fumbling issues ultimately did really hurt him, because in 2018, when he had that unbelievable season, setting the ASU single-season record with 1,642 yards, Eno Benjamin only had one fumble, and it was not lost. Then you compare that to 2019, that figure rose to 6 fumbles, 4 of them lost. That's something that really stuck out as a sore thumb to NFL teams that were scouting Eno Benjamin. And even though I thought he had a pretty good NFL combine, Eno Benjamin, probably compared to Brandon Ayuk, was hurt that he wasn't able to negate his film with a pro day, with in-person workouts, or maybe even in-person interviews in some case. I mean, sure, yeah, you have a lot of virtual meetings, and you can definitely show a lot of tape of personal workouts, and so NFL teams can get some kind of idea what kind of player they're getting. But I have no doubt in my mind that for some players that aren't rated as high as a Brandon Ayuk, for example, not having that in-person interaction, whether it's pro day, whether it's private in-person workouts, can really hurt a lot of players. You know, Benjamin definitely fell in that group. But again, seventh round, that definitely came as a surprise to me. But being somewhat at home, if you will. I mean, he's originally from Texas, but obviously staying in the Valley here with the Arizona Cardinals, that's huge, and that's something that you'd like to think would help him in his transition from the college to the pro game, and also playing in a system that does allow running backs to showcase the receiving skills. And I think that's one trait that, you know, Benjamin was able to improve on in 2019. So sometimes it's not where you get drafted or where you get signed as a free agent, but who is the team that actually does pull the trigger. So I think in, you know, Benjamin, seventh round is something that definitely didn't work out. The team that selected him in the seventh round, I think that worked out quite nicely for Eno Benjamin.
It also helps that Cliff Kingsbury recruited him back when he was at Texas Tech. So there was a lot of familiarity there. Holt, should Eno have stayed? Would that have helped him?
I really don't think it would improve his stock poll. I really don't think so, because when I look at the offensive line for Arizona State, you're still going to have at least two underclassmen being the starting five, and granted those guys are sophomores now and not freshmen, so you expect some kind of progression from 2019 to 2020. But I just don't know if we would see a much improved Eno Benjamin, and I don't think he would be able to match the numbers that he did back in 2018 when he set the ASU single season record. So I'm not saying that him coming out after 2019 was striking while the iron was hot. I mean, trust me, if you know Benjamin could have declared for the NFL draft after the 2018 season, it would absolutely do that in a heartbeat, and there's no way he would get drafted in the seventh round. So some of it is just really bad, dumb luck as far as coming out after a season which did show regression from the prior year. But no, I really don't think his stock would improve that much more. I have a hard time believing that if he did stay for his senior year that he would get drafted in the seventh round in the 2021 draft, but I don't think we're talking about a difference of seventh round compared to first, second round if Eno Benjamin did play all 4 years for the Sun Devils.
On the Kerry Lackey Law Line, the one, the only, Holt Urbino from Devils Digest. Holt, now look at the other players now. Kobe Williams, Cole Cabral, guys that didn't get drafted but ended up signing on with teams. Which one of the Sun Devils do you think that signed as a free agent has a real opportunity to not just be a solid pro, but impact the team this year or the following year?
Well, if you saw the interview that I have on my front page at devilsdigest.com with Kobe Williams, you see somebody who has been fighting the odds basically from day one. Just to give a little background on Kobe Williams, he played at Long Beach Poly High School in California. Antonio Pierce was his head coach back then. His teammate in the defensive backfield was Jack Jones, who played for USC before transferring to Arizona State last year. Two other players that were former Sun Devils, JoJo Wicker and CJ French Love. But unlike all those players that I mentioned, Kobe Williams is a guy that had to scratch claw just to get every opportunity that he eventually was able to earn. He actually had to play in Long Beach City College out of high school just because he did not get any quality offers at that time. He was brought to ASU with no fanfare whatsoever. And really from day one, if folks recall, in that 2017 season, was able to hit the ground running, was impressive from the get-go. And even though he played for different coaching staffs throughout his tenure in Tempe, each coaching staff would just say the same thing, that he was an absolute model of consistency, somebody that players not only on defense but really on offense should emulate in terms of their work, in terms of his work ethic, his attitude. So the reason I'm mentioning all this, Paul, is that Kobe Williams is one player I will never bet against. And yes, he's only 5'10", even though I think people don't realize there are a lot of cornerbacks in the NFL right now that are just about the same stature as a Kobe Williams. But nonetheless, he just feels the NFL is just one more way that he can silence the critics, defy the doubters, and I think that he is somebody that can definitely make an impact with Jacksonville. Again, if you'd read the interview I just did with him last night, he is somebody that is extremely confident in what he can bring to the table. And he said that Jacksonville was very excited to pick him up as a free agent, and they wished they could pick him up as a draft pick. That didn't happen, but I think it all worked out well for a guy like Kobe Williams. Another player that I think has a good chance of contributing in the NFL early is Cole Cabral. Much like we talked, Benjamin being in a familiar environment, Cole Cabral goes to the hometown LA Rams. So I think when you talk about such a huge transition from the college to the pro level, you just need some factors maybe to work in your favor to ease that transition. And just being in familiar surroundings, I think, can help somebody like a Cole Cabral. He showed versatility with Arizona State, that being able to play center, being able to play some left tackle. I think he's going to be more of an interior lineman at the pro level. But he's somebody that definitely carries a chip on his shoulder, much like an Eno Benjamin, for example, because he thought he was going to get drafted. He didn't even get picked in the seventh and last round of the NFL draft. So he's somebody that's highly, highly motivated. And I think that he definitely has just the God-given talent as well as the motivation to succeed to the next level. So he's somebody that I wouldn't be surprised that may able to be stick with the LA Rams when opening day does come around.
Hold on, I heard a rumor, I don't know if it has any weight, if it has any legs, but I'm hearing it more and more, that there's a real opportunity that we may be seeing colleges play spring football instead of fall football. Have you heard that?
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, in my humble opinion, for whatever it's worth, I think there's at least a 50% chance that we're going to see two seasons being played out in 2021. One, like you said, in the spring, probably just around March or so, and then you'll have the traditional fall season starting in August, September of 2021. I don't think it's out of the question that we could see maybe an abbreviated 2020 season that may not have any non-conference games, or we're going to jump right into conference play. And I know depending on the conference, that's easier said than done. When you talk about an SEC that likes to have a bunch of cupcake non-conference games the week before Thanksgiving versus the big boys in the Pac-12 that do actually play 9 conference games and really have that clean break, more or less having the first 3 games being non-conference and then playing that week 4 game and on being conference games. And obviously Stanford and USC, when they play Notre Dame, those are the only exceptions. But my feeling is that if we do see a 2020 season, we're probably going to see it, as I mentioned, in a conference play only format. But that's something that's just one of the huge question marks right now that you can just file away with the 10,000 other question marks we have when it comes to sports and non-sports topics during this pandemic. But again, just to answer your original question, yes, I think it's definitely a real possibility that we actually see 2 football seasons in 2021, one played in the spring, one played in the fall. And look, spring football in Arizona works beautiful. Midwest, Northeast. In the Midwest and Northeast, I don't know about playing football games in March. They're going to have many more challenges weather-wise than us here in Arizona. But I'm not complaining. I mean, after, you know, for the last 20 years sweating out games in August and September, it'd be nice to have a day game in March in Sun Devil Stadium, wouldn't it?
Oh, you are not lying. You know what? It doesn't matter. They just flip the seasons. Instead of playing their last games in November in the cold, they'll just be playing their first games in February. So, you know,
exactly.
It washes out. Washes out one way or the other. 2 more holding, I'm going to let you fly. If they do that in the spring, and they do play spring ball and then fall, if you're a highly rated draft pick prospect like a Trevor Lawrence or someone of that nature, do you play spring ball knowing that you have a condensed time to get ready for the NFL? The draft will be quick, the workouts will be quick, the combine will be quick, and then you have to put your body through another season of football. But I hate to say, use this term, but big boy football. Will we see those high prospects play spring ball if there's spring ball? Or do you think they sit out?
I think that when you mention a guy like Trevor Lawrence, that's something you definitely cannot rule out at all. Just when it comes to every aspect of our life, sports and non-sports, you're only as good as the leverage that you have or don't have. And a guy like Trevor Lawrence does have a lot of leverage. And I don't think that him in specific does have to show anything to anybody in the NFL, and if the draft is still going to take place as we expect it to take place in the last week of April, which I guess if you look at a football schedule, that might be played the first week of March and still might be going on as the NFL draft is taking place. I mean, does a guy like Trevor Lawrence want to do that? So that's an excellent point that I bring up, Paul, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if we do see some players that do perceive that they have the leverage, that do get some kind of feedback from the NFL that is giving them, quote-unquote, permission to sit out their final year of college football. I think that's an absolute possibility. I don't think we'll just see that in droves. I mean, I doubt if we'd see more than 20, 30 players doing that. And again,
right,
those are players that are, rightfully or not, just feel that they just hold all the cards. They write their own ticket, and they have nothing to prove to anybody in the NFL in terms of what they can do in college football, and do nothing to improve and maybe have a stronger chance of hurting their NFL stock if they were to play that very unusual spring season, if it did come to that.
Last one for the great Holt Urbino from Devil's Digest here on the Gary Lackey All-Line Cave Show with PLR. If we do have a season, whether it be spring or fall, what is your outlook for Sun Devil football this year?
I think that ASU absolutely should be contending for the Pac-12 South with USC. I know there's still a lot of folks out there that still think that Utah is going to be in the mix. In my humble opinion, Utah lost way too much from the 2019 season to be a viable contender for the division championship. So it's definitely going to be a two-team race, in my opinion, between Arizona State and USC, who, by the way, for good or for bad, do meet towards the end of September. So really to see if that schedule does hold, obviously. How does that change the whole dynamic of that Pac-12 South race when you have the two contenders meeting that early in the season? But Arizona State, in my opinion, is a team that definitely should win at least 9 games next year. I feel that on defense, you have an absolutely loaded unit coming back. Yes, they'd have to figure some stuff up front with the defensive line. But when you look at the linebackers and the secondary, you just see, in my opinion, just one stud after another, so much experience, so much proven talent on that side of the ball. This can be an ASU defense really for the ages. When it comes to the offense, yes, there's a lot of good skilled players that you have to replace, namely the two players we talked about earlier, in Eno Benjamin and Brandon Ayuk. But wide receiver Frank Darby, I think, can be really much in the mold of a Brandon Ayuk, if you will, that here we are asking in the preseason, who's going to replace Brandon Ayuk? And just like we asked the year before that, who's going to replace N'Keal Harry? And I think that Frank Darby is definitely up to that challenge. Jaden Daniels, as impressive as he was as a freshman, can definitely take the next step as a quarterback, as a sophomore. There's a lot of young, talented wide receivers coming into the program. So to me, it's really going to come down to the offensive line. And as I mentioned earlier, they're still going to have two sophomores probably in the starting five. They did get two grad transfers to shore up the left side of the line. If that offensive line can really elevate its play from 2019, I think all the dominoes are really going to fall in place for the Arizona State offense. So to me, there's more questions on offense than they are on defense. But I know the old cliche is that the games are won and lost in the trenches. And that, to me, when you look at the personnel of Arizona State, that holds absolutely true, because the biggest question marks are in those two positions, offensive line and defensive line. If they can answer those questions successfully, it should be a very special year for the Sun Devils.
Hold, I held you longer. I told you 15 to 18 minutes, and I appreciate you running over with us, because I love the information that you give. I promise you it won't be a long time before I bug you on that text and ask you to come back on, because ASU basketball recruited did a good job recruiting too. So I definitely want to get your input and your opinion on what next season will look like and what some of the players that are not coming back, what your thoughts are about them entering the NFL into the NBA and that outlook. So I will definitely bug you again. It's been great having you on, man. I definitely want to do it again soon.
No, my pleasure, Paul. And anytime. Thanks so much for having me on. And yep, always fun to talk Sun Devil sports, even though we're experiencing these unusual times. But exciting stuff happening for ASU on and off the field. And hopefully, we'll be talking about a few months from now about a regular start for the 2020 season in the fall.
Hey, man. But you know what? Please tell everyone. You just mentioned, as you were mentioning, an article that you had on Kobe Williams. Where can they find all your work and social media-wise? How can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, my website is devilsdigest.com. We're the Arizona State outlet at rivals.com. So, as I mentioned, we got articles both with Kobe Williams and Cole Cabral. We talked to them after the draft about both of them signing as free agents. Obviously, we discussed the draft picks of both Eno Benjamin and Brandon Ayuk. So all those articles can be found on devilsdigest.com. On social media, I'm on Twitter at Devils Digest.
Hey, thanks. So we'll catch up for sure, my friend. I appreciate you.
All right. Take care, Paul. Thank you.
All right, you too. The one, the only, Holder Beano from Devils Digest. There's no one that knows more about the Sun Devils than Hode. So like I tell you guys all the time, I don't profess to be a know-it-all. I don't want my wife says I do, but that's a whole different subject. I don't profess to be a know-it-all. So I go and get the expert, the subject matter expert on all that, and he is it. Let's take a quick break, and then let's start to wrap this bad boy up.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
So I promised everyone some sound from the Charles Barkley media interview yesterday, and I do apologize, but we did have a hard time getting the sound loaded. I have some pieces of the interview, though, up on social media, so definitely go and check that out on our Instagram at thesportscave.com. Now, tomorrow we have my man on, Steve Hunter. Played in the league, played for the Suns, the Magic. He's from the Crib, and those of you know the Crib, that's Chicago. And you know we're going to talk about possibilities of the playoffs, but you know we're going to talk Last Dance. You know it. So from a Chicago perspective, we're going to have some fun with that tomorrow right here on The Cave Show, PLR. And all next week, guys, I promise you, we got one guest after the next. More than likely in a couple weeks or so, I may start not only doing the radio show part live, but live streaming it as well over on Facebook or on IG Live. So we're just trying to make sure we're connected and set. Not a big fan of doing anything half-assed, so I want to make sure that it's right before we go that route. Make sure you're following us on the Sports Cave, on the Twitter, on the Instagram, and on the Facebook, and that's at the Sports Cave. Cave is with the K. TheSportsCave.com, again, Cave is with the K. And you can get me directly on PLR on Sports on the Twitter. Thank you, Holder Beano, for Devil Digest joining in today and giving us insight on so much that's going on with ASU, with the players that are embarking on their NFL career. And the possibility, see, I told y'all I wasn't crazy. I've been hearing about this spring ball more and more. More and more. We got a lot to get into. We'll do that tomorrow as well. Thank you so much for joining me today on The Cave Show. This has been The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR.